everyone, and welcome along to The Punt. We've got four live TV games in the Premier League this week, and DK and Alex are going to be getting their teeth stuck into them shortly. The Foxes have shown plenty of bite in the first couple of months of the campaign, and Robbie Savage reckons they can break into the top four. We'll see him soon, and we'll hear from Derek McGovern, who's looking to bounce back from the loss in his duel with Alex last week. I'll be back shortly to tell you all about Golden Goal, but right now it's DK and Alex. And chaps, unfortunately, later on in the show, you're going to be forced to talk about Manchester United and Newcastle. But we start on the South Coast. Take it away, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Emma. I'm looking forward to this week. I'm not looking forward to that last game we got a preview. Newcastle taking on Manchester United. Newcastle, your team. You can tell by my accent, I'm a Manchester United fan.
Not from Essex, are you, Dave?
Yeah, so that's the last game of the weekend. So I'm not particularly attracted to any betting proposition there.
If you could draw away, if you go back both teams to lose, yeah. I think that'd be the way forward in that game.
Gonna have to go for a draw in that one. We do start on the South Coast though. Brighton versus Spurs. Brighton 3-1, the draw 5-2. Spurs in the betting at 19-20. Where do we start with this one? Because Brighton haven't won since the opening day of the season. Spurs come into this on the back of that humiliating defeat at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium against Bayern midweek, beaten 7-2. Clearly got defensive issues at the moment. Spurs, maybe it's deeper running than that for Spurs. And Brighton are 3-1 to win this game. That will appeal to many, I think.
It was a good game to watch, the Spurs game, as a neutral. It got to 5-2 and I turned off and thought, game over. And then I checked my phone 2 minutes later and it said 7-2 and I thought, oh dear.
I enjoyed the Spurs account. They were tweeting live updates and it just said 88 and with the apostrophe for minutes and then dash another.
Yeah.
And that was it. And it was that kind of night for Spurs. I think things just unravelled quickly. I don't put too much emphasis on that defeat. The manner of the defeat was appalling, obviously. But Spurs could well bounce back. And if there is still fight left in the squad, which I'm sure there will be, 19-20 to win away at Brighton. I'm looking at both Brighton at 3-1 and Spurs at 19-20 and think both appeal to... I mean, it depends from what perspective you're looking at this, but both could appeal.
Yeah, I've...
It sounds bizarre. I know that sounds bizarre.
I've been quietly impressed with Brighton compared to what they were last season.
Okay.
They at least have a real identity now. They pass, they move. They might play three at the back, but it's a very fluid three. Sometimes it's a four, sometimes it's a five. Sometimes one of the centre-halves goes on a run up the pitch. I quite like watching them, to be honest. I want to say they lack cutting edge, but at the same time, I think Neil Maupay is an improvement on what they've had in recent seasons. He's impressed me as well. And one to keep an eye on as well in recent weeks, months maybe, Martin Montoya, the right back. Now, I think he's about 25-1 to score at any time in this match.
Okay.
Which gives you an indication of his chances.
Yeah.
But I think he'll score a couple before the season's out, which means if he's always around that price, it's worth taking a look. He's the right wing back, so I think it's not factored in that he is playing in a five that is sometimes a three, so he's effectively sometimes the right winger. And I think at some point this season, he will pop up in the right place and score. He doesn't have a good scoring record. He's never scored for Brighton. But it's just something to keep an eye on for the coming weeks because he's not been played in such a forward role in recent seasons. But for Spurs, this is a massive game now.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely huge. They have to do something. Son Heung-min's impressed me since he's come back as well. Obviously, he had a suspension at the start of the season. And he's been gradually warming up into the campaign. Hopefully, he can play a part here.
Okay. It won't surprise you to find out that I've got no idea about this game. I'm not sure who's going to win. Could be a draw, I suppose, as well. Hopefully, you've got a bet for us.
Now, it doesn't surprise me that you don't have a clue, Dave. I'm going to side with Harry Kane, because if in doubt, you go for the man who Spurs always turn to.
Yeah.
He scored first on his last two visits to the Amex, and I think he'll do so again here. So Kane to score first will be the main pick, but I do think Brighton will then peg Spurs back. Spurs' last away clean sheet in the Premier League was on New Year's Day. That is pretty shocking for a side as good as Spurs are. So I'm going to say it's a one-all draw, but the main bet, Kane to score first.
I like it. You're giving us a scorecast as well. So Kane to score first in a one-all draw as Spurs travel to the Amex.
We'll be back with DK and Alex shortly for a look at West Ham versus Palace. And that game at the London Stadium is this week's Golden Goal match at William Hill 2. I'm sure you know how it works by now. If the team you back to win scores first, you win no matter what the result. Click or touch the banners at williamhill.com or on the app for all the details. And good luck whichever way you're betting. Now, DK, I know you're a huge fan of the Hammers this season, but Palace aren't doing too badly either.
They're not going too badly, Palace. They've picked up 11 points so far in the league this season, but I think it's smoke and mirrors with Crystal Palace because They've only scored 6 goals. That rate of progression isn't going to continue if you don't score. And the Hammers, rightly, I think, 19-20 to win this game. A shade of odds on at home. The draw, 13-5. Crystal Palace, 14-5. Don't forget as well, you can build a Your Odds bet on the William Hill website and on the app. I have got something of an unhealthy obsession with the Hammers. It's been something that's commented on this show previously.
You love them, don't you?
I do love them. I think they're a fantastic side. I think they've got a brilliant spine to their team with Issa Diop at centre-half. Declan Rice in the middle. Andre Yarmolenko's come back into the team. They've got Felipe Anderson. Sebastian Allaire looks very good as well. So I just think they've got a good side, West Ham. And I think away from the top six, I think they could even maybe sneak into six this season, perhaps.
I'm less convinced. I don't dislike West Ham at all. I don't think they're as good as Leicester are. I think they're probably better than Everton. They'll probably finish eighth or ninth. There you are.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, Hammers fans.
That's upset me.
I don't think they're consistent enough. They don't do it week in, week out, do they? That's the problem with them. Now, so far this season, when they've lost, they've done it spectacularly. 5-0 against Man City and 4-0 against Oxford. That is as West Ham as you're going to get. In and around that, though, they've actually been pretty good, I have to say. They have been. And this is a very, very winnable game against, as you mentioned, a Palace side who, points-wise, are doing okay.
Yeah.
Performance-wise, not fantastic. That's sort of good, because it means that if they continue, as they have done, they're not going to get close to relegation. But performances haven't been superb. That said, I napped them last week against Norwich. They got the job done. Mm. That's not to say they'll do the same here again.
They're doing it for the elder statesmen, aren't they, as well? Roy Hodgson and Ray Lewington teaming up. I fancy the Hammers strongly here. I think they'll win. And one man that I'm focusing on is Andre Yarmolenko. He's come back into the side this season after a long-term injury, and he's been absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, he scored first against both Man U and Bournemouth last week. And he rarely completes 90 minutes for the Hammers. He's just slowly creeping back into it, which is good. It's nice to see a player return from injury and return at the top of his game, as he has done. I couldn't put you off backing him on this occasion, but I'm going to keep this a little more simple. For me, West Ham win, but I'm going to take West Ham and both teams to score. Palace, on the break, do pose a threat, and it's often said that they're a better side on the road than they are at home.
Yep.
I think they could score here, and for all that you'd think it'd be low scoring, the head-to-head suggests both teams to score as a big player here. So I go West Ham, and both teams score.
West Ham and BTTS for Mr. Dunn. Now we're going to hear from Mr. Savage, Robbie, with his thoughts on the top four, and specifically Leicester City.
Leicester City, 2015-16 Premier League champions. I was saying they can't, but you know what? They did. Now people saying, can Leicester finish in the top four? Can they? Yes, they can. And here's why. Since Brendan Rodgers took over in the Premier League, they've played 18 games over the course of last season and this season. They'd currently be third on 34 points. Along the way, third best offensive record and third joint most goals, nearly 2 goals per game under Rodgers in the Premier League. At home, they're brilliant. Only lost 1 in 10. That was against Newcastle last season. Jamie Vardy scored 10 in 10 at home. He is on fire. Against the top 6 under Rodgers, played 6. 1-2, drew 2, lost 2. That was against United and City. So, do you know what? They're youthful, they're experienced, they're dynamic, and Brendan Rodgers done the right thing, leaving Celtic to finish in the top four in the Premier League with Leicester.
That top four market's much more interesting than usual. Obviously, we know Manchester City and Liverpool are going to finish in the top four, but away from that pair, Spurs are 8-13. Arsenal even money, Chelsea 5-4, Manchester United 9-4. Then you come to Leicester City at 7-2, 25-1, bar those we mentioned. And Robbie seemed pretty convinced that Leicester were going to finish in the top four this season.
I could see it.
Yeah.
And they're getting shorter and shorter as the weeks pass. And it's not just because they're very good. It's because those around them are floundering, to be honest.
Mm.
They've all got something that you can pinpoint as the opposition and go, we'll get at them for that.
Definitely.
Leicester don't really, do they? They don't really have a weak point. If anything, you'd say it'd be the centre-halves, but Soyuncu and Evans this season have been rock solid. So I certainly couldn't put you off it. It's a very tempting price. I know on the face of it, it does sound a little bit silly because you have the big six. But hey, why not change?
Yeah, I think that
happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think Leicester could easily sneak in there.
I would not be shocked.
I wouldn't want to be laying 7-2 right now as a bookmaker.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah. Okay, Southampton versus Chelsea next up then. This is televised. It's a 2 o'clock start time on Sunday. Southampton 3-1 to win the game. The draw 11-4. Chelsea 88-100. If you fancy match result on both teams to score, Southampton 5-1 in that market. The draw 17-5. Chelsea 23-10. You can build your odds on the William Hill website and on the app. We'll have plenty of enhancements ahead of this game as well. Chelsea come into this having won midweek against Lille, won that game 2-1. And I think the transfer ban for Chelsea has actually been a positive for Frank Lampard, because he's been able to bring young English players through, and a couple of them have really starred this season. Tammy Abraham and Mason Mount, they've been superb. And Chelsea will fancy it against Southampton. Last week on the programme, you pointed to camera and said, Southampton fans, buckle up because I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
Are you?
I don't like them. not the fans. Not the fans. No. Just the team. I'm not convinced.
I think they're a lot better than you think they are, Southampton.
Their record so far this season suggests that they are. Having watched them, I'm less sure.
Okay. They've got a couple of real outstanding players. I think Moussa Dzeko looks a real talent, doesn't he?
When fit.
Yeah.
He hasn't been fit yet this season. And? You said a couple. Come on. Who's the other one, Dave?
That's about it. I like Cedric Suarez as well, and he's a doubt this weekend. So
yeah, so good. They sent him out on loan last season. I'm not convinced at all. I don't think they play to their strengths.
Okay. What are their strengths then?
Well, they've got hard-working strikers in Ings and Long, say.
Yeah.
And instead they play Che Adams. And then Ings comes in and he scores.
Yeah.
You go, well, he should play all the time now. But he won't. He might start at the weekend, but he won't be a permanent fixture.
But I've always seen Danny Ings as a player that's an impact substitute, because he is so quick and he can come on late.
When they're already 3-0 down. Yeah,
and the same applies to Shane Long as well.
But then you've also got players, Nathan Redmond's lively enough. They've got a good base, that's what I would say. Højbjerg and Romeo, if they play as holders, I quite like.
Yeah.
But then they're being asked to do a little bit more than that, because in front of them, what have they got? Ward-Prowse is steady enough. The defence doesn't convince me either. I don't know what it is about them. They're just not clicking. And I like them more now than I did when, say, Mark Hughes was in charge. But I just think that they need to do a little bit more than they are doing. They need Che Adams to start scoring if they're going to persevere with him. That's the key.
Okay. I fancy this game to be entertaining. I think we'll get a decent game at St Mary's. I expect plenty of goals. What about you?
Yeah, I'd agree to be honest. Chelsea have got a fantastic record at St Mary's over the last few years. They score a lot of goals when they go there as well. And that's been consistent with Chelsea this season, full stop, particularly away from home. Yes, they got tonked 4-0 at Man U, but then a 3-2 win at Norwich, a 5-2 win at Wolves.
Yeah.
And I think we'll see them score a lot of goals here as well. I looked at Tammy Abraham to score, but he's too short, to be honest, to be considering backing in a game like this, as far as I'm concerned, although he is in fantastic form. So for me, it'd be Chelsea in over 2.5 goals. I think Chelsea in both teams to score could be a player, because defensively they have looked suspect. But Chelsea in over 2.5 does allow you for the potentially, 3-0, 4-0 to Chelsea.
Yeah.
That's a bit outlandish, but I think Chelsea will win this with a bit in hand.
Okay, Chelsea to win in over 2.5 goals, the bet for Alex. Let's hear from Derek McGovern next. Hopefully he can come up with a winning nap this week.
The days of the big six are numbered, yet bookmakers haven't cottoned on. The only people Manchester United, Arsenal, Chelsea and Spurs scare these days are their own fans. All four of those clubs have won less than half of the Premier League matches they've played this season. Yet all four of those clubs are odds on this weekend. What the f***? I've got a mate who thinks he knows everything. And those kinds of people are really annoying to those of us who actually do. Every day he rings to tell me he's found a bet of the century. And every day he reverses the charges to do so. But this weekend he's onto something. He reckons Southampton at 3-1 to beat Chelsea are the best bet since Ben Hare started at 4-1 for the chariot race. Chelsea have played 3 matches away from home in the Premier League this season, and each time they've conceded at least 2 goals. And one of those games was at Manchester United, who go forward as often as the clocks. What's more, they've just played in the Champions League, and when that happened last month, they lost their next league game. I'd call that a trend. I'm not saying Southampton are world beaters, but these days you don't have to beat Chelsea. Competent will do. And Southampton are almost that. 3-1 is a steal. Those who saw on Sunday how bad Newcastle are saying Manchester United are good things to beat them. I'm guessing they did not see on Monday how bad Manchester United are. You feel sorry for Steve Bruce, the Newcastle manager. He must wonder what he's walked into. My guess, looking at his hooter, is a brick wall. The Toon looked atrocious in losing 5-0 at Leicester, but they had a very good excuse. Steve Bruce is their manager. Actually, they played most of the game with 10 men, or 9 if you include Joe Linton, which Bruce, if he's got any sense, won't do anymore. It was only a few weeks ago that Newcastle were going to spares and winning. They should not be 7-2 to beat a United side who played, allegedly, on Monday and again on Thursday. That's tough on their players. It's even tougher on their fans.
Okay, I suppose we've got to talk about this one then. And Newcastle versus Manchester United at St James's Park, 4:30 kickoff on Sunday. Derek, go with Newcastle as his best bet this weekend. The 7-2 to win this game, the draw 5-2, Manchester United 17-20. We're going to talk about what happened to Newcastle last week. They were thumped 5-0 by Leicester. It didn't help that Isaac Hayden was sent off early in that match. And Steve Bruce, as punishment, gave them a training session off. That seems wise, doesn't it, when you're struggling towards the bottom of the table? Play less football, work less.
I'd say the less time he has to affect what they're doing on the pitch is a positive, to be honest with you. It wasn't good, was it, on Sunday?
No.
It was... When I saw the team sheet, I thought, oh, 4-4-2.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go and have a go. But then you're forgetting that Fabian Schär can't defend in a two-man defence. You're forgetting that nearly everyone on the pitch didn't seem to care. And you're forgetting that Joe Linton up front, I know Derek's just had a pop at him. I still think there's something there, but there's not something there when there's no one within 40 yards of him, which as soon as Hayden was sent off, that was the case.
And we messaged as soon as you saw the lineup, and you said, we'd obviously talked last week's show about Newcastle setting up with five at the back, and that would hinder Jamie Vardy in his quest for goals. But then the team sheet came out, four at the back, and you immediately said, Vardy will score now.
Well, it just plays into his hands.
Yeah, and he got two last week. So where did Newcastle go from here?
The Championship, I think, quite simply.
I said last week they were the worst team in the Premier League, and you saw, you didn't want to agree with me at all, but then eventually yielded, and I don't think there's a worse team than Newcastle.
I don't know, to be honest. It's not good. I still don't think what we're seeing is an accurate representation, easy for me to say, of what they are capable of. But then under Steve Bruce, maybe this is what they are capable of. Maybe Rafa Benitez was working magic. Who knows? But that said, this is a good game.
This is the perfect time, isn't it, to get Manchester United.
If you could ever play Man U, now is the time to do it.
Yeah. I think they lack identity, Manchester United. We've talked about them on this programme numerous occasions and how it's not just Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, it's the hierarchy, basically. They need a director of football in there at Manchester United. But... I mean, they're hanging their hat on performances from Scott McTominay now. How quickly things have changed in the last 5 or 6 years for Manchester United. And Newcastle have an opportunity to put 3 points on the board this weekend because Manchester United are coming to town. It's incredible that we're saying that.
The team that Man U put out against Arsenal, I'm not saying I'd have changed it as such, it just wasn't a Manchester United team.
They've just not got good players.
No.
And the problem is, Paul Pogba clearly doesn't want to be there, and he's not influencing matches like he should be for a man of his unquestionable talent. I mean, he's a World Cup winner, and he's dilly-dallying a little bit. They lack any real impetus. The side's just not that good, in all honesty.
Well, they were always a Martial or a Rashford injury away from a bit of a disaster this season,
weren't
they? Given what they did in the window.
Yep.
And so it has proved. You've got Rashford, who's out there not fully fit, and Martial, who's out injured at the minute. The likes of McTominay and Pereira, I actually quite like as players, but they're not your typical Man U players. They're not top four players, I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
And they're doing a job, but that's all they can do at the minute. The side that Man U put out against Arsenal is pretty poor, let's be honest. And the performance wasn't much better. This is such a good time for Newcastle to be playing Man U, which makes it interesting from a betting point of view, because if you just said off the back of last week's games, who do you want to take on? You'd say probably both teams.
Yeah.
And then you realise they're playing each other, and what are you left with?
Newcastle will tempt a few here at home at a big price against Manchester United, but Steve Bruce likes to have his tummy tickled by Manchester United, shall we say. He's got an awful record against them.
He does. He used to play for them. And yep. It seems that every time that they come to town, he just says, yeah, go on then, have three more points. Which he appears to be doing to most teams that Newcastle are playing this season, let's be fair. I'm not sure about this game. It's really difficult. You want to take them both on, let's be honest.
Yep.
But at the prices, I don't know if it's stubbornness. I don't know if it's just sheer bloody-mindedness. Or just ridiculous loyalty. I'm sticking with Newcastle. You cannot back Man U at the price that they are.
Okay.
You'd want to take them on at that price against anyone in the league. It just so happens that they're playing Newcastle, who are also shocking. It's not the best case for a bet I've ever made, but Newcastle are a massive price here. You cannot be with Manchester United at present. You just can't. Not at that price. It's Newcastle for me.
Heart-ruling head, folks. Heart-ruling head. Newcastle the bet for Alex. Let's hear from the Football League chaps as they give their best bets this weekend.
My nap of the week this week is Sheffield Wednesday minus a goal at 17-10. Yes, they were beaten by Hull midweek, but they hit four before that and will have a couple of key players back to full fitness this weekend. For Wigan, well, they've conceded at least two goals in all of their away games, barring one at the Riverside. And away from home, they cannot be trusted to ever win, or in fact, really ever draw. So I think Sheffield Wednesday will get this done fairly simply. Minus a goal, 17-10, my championship nap of the week for the Owls.
My nap this weekend is all about the Black Cats, Sunderland away at Lincoln City, the first ever league meeting between these two sides. Lincoln City struggling at the moment, lost to Cowleys, Michael Appleton is in charge, but they've taken 1 point from the last 15 available in the league and lost at home last time out 6-0 to Oxford United. Sunderland, on the other hand, travelling well, won at Sheffield United in the Cup, also won at Accrington Stanley. There will be goals in this one, but I'm expecting Sunderland to win, and they're my nap at 27-20.
So Cheltenham 15-8 at Oldham, 20th against 3rd, yet the away side here at big price. Is there a catch? Well, we're 11 games in. This Cheltenham side started badly, yet they've got 21 points because they've got 13 points from the last five games, despite some of those being against some of the best and most informed teams in the league. So if there is a catch, maybe it's with Oldham. Well, they've only got 6 points from the last six games, four of which came against the league's bottom two. Their home win over Morecambe remains their only home league win of the season. So where is the catch? There isn't one. Cheltenham are 15-8.
This is definitely my favourite part of the programme now. Naps table time, because I'm sitting pretty at the top. Another winning nap.
Pretty's a strong word. You see, you're sitting there.
6-5 last week, Leicester to Inter nil, 75-50. It's easy this game, isn't it?
No, it's not. I'm creeping up, to be honest. I'm not near where you are, but no. I've managed to get myself off out the relegation zone.
But,
anyway.
But you said to me just before we started recording the punts, you were definitely going to finish above me this season.
I will, yeah. That's without question.
But you've got to go with something different to get above
me.
You copied mine out this week.
I didn't copy it. We've agreed on this week, and that's a rarity, because I don't think we've done that this season.
No, we've not. This is a big price, isn't it, though, this one?
It is. Burnley should not be the outsiders against Everton at home.
I agree.
They just shouldn't. Everton are more than likely going to concede two in this game.
Yeah.
If they do, they're going to have to score three to win.
I always think they're worth taking on the road as well, Everton. I know they played okay last week against Manchester City, but Burnley at Turf Moor, I just think you look at the managers here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at Sean Dyche versus Marco Silva, and Dyche is just a much better manager than Silva is.
Burnley will just make it nasty,
yeah.
Quite simply, for Everton. They won't make it pleasant. And I know that Everton went to Burnley last year and absolutely annihilated them. But I'm prepared to forgive that as a bit of a blip on Burnley's part. Again, I've already said that, you know, I've already annoyed Southampton fans on this podcast. I routinely upset Everton fans. It's time for me to do that again, I'm afraid. Burnley are just too big, they are.
They are, 15-8, Burnley to win the game. Alex, thank you for your company once again.
Thank you.
Thank you everyone that's tuned in and watched us on the punt this week. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. Myself and Alex, we will be back next week. We'll be right back.